The Kyoto Protocol, an international agreement linked to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. The main aim of the Kyoto Protocol is that it sets binding targets for 37 industrialized countries and the European Community for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. The Kyoto Protocol is one of the main agendas at COP17 CMP7 in Durban, as the first commitment period is in 2012. Reports have stated that Canada have pulled out of the Kyoto Protocol, dismissing it as a thing of the past. The Kyoto Pact obliged Canada to cut emissions to 6% below 1990 levels by 2012. In 2009, Canada had 17% increase over 1990 levels, mostly because of an increase in oil. Canada's Minister of Environment, Peter Kinch, was quoted in an article as saying, "The Kyoto Protocol is out of date because it excludes major emitters among developing nations, including China, India, and Brazil." The Canadian youth delegation, who are in Durban, believe the Kyoto Protocol should stay as it is a vital agreement. I had an interview with Malcolm Boythwood from the Canadian youth delegation about their expectations of the conference and about Canada pulling out of the Kyoto Protocol. Malcolm, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Firstly, I just want to know, the Canadian youth delegation, why did you decide to come to COP17 CMP7?
Okay. I live in Whitehorse, Yukon, far north in northern Canada, and there are already impacts of climate change going on where I live, and not to mention the rest of the world. And it's obvious that the Canadian government is putting the needs of polluters ahead of the needs of people. And because of Canada's despicable negotiating agenda, it's important that people from Canada come to bring other perspectives and try to press the Canadian government to do a U-turn in its climate policy. So by coming here, the Canadian youth delegation is dedicated to bringing other perspectives on climate change and to encourage Canadian politicians to take climate change seriously.
The actual Canadian youth delegation, how did it come about?
Well, the Canadian youth delegation is a group of 18 young Canadians from across this country who care about climate change and who are concerned enough to come halfway across the world and volunteer for months and months to put to plan out actions and strategies to make the most effective statement that we can during this limited time at the conference.
And then on Monday, I know you launched the line of uniforms for Canadian negotiators. So can you just tell us more about this line?
Yeah. Well, we know that the Canadian government is putting fossil fuel industry and oil companies ahead of citizens. And because they're negotiating on behalf of these oil companies, we thought we should give them a uniform that really fits who they're negotiating for, their team colors. So a couple of people in this Canadian youth delegation sewed a bunch of oil company logos onto a couple of suits, and we modeled them pretending that we're going to give these to the Canadian negotiators, and this is what the negotiators for Canada should be wearing.
Well, ahead of this conference, there's been a lot of talk on the Kyoto Protocol, and so can you just tell us, where does Canada stand?
It's not a news flash to me that Canada has no intention of reducing its emissions or living up to its Kyoto commitments. 5 years ago, Canada announced that it would not meet its Kyoto commitments, but this is still a slap in the face to formally announce they're completely abandoning Kyoto. And it is vitally important that something like Kyoto should exist, because if not, it's going to be a voluntary agreement that does not have the necessary teeth or ambition to deal with climate change. In the same way that school children would rather have their homework be voluntary, countries like Canada would rather only have voluntary commitments to reduce their emissions. So we need something like Kyoto, which would force countries like Canada to reduce their emissions.
You know, Canada has been called a coward country because they want to pull out of the Kyoto Protocol. Do you agree with that statement or not?
Yes, I agree that Canada has been singled out again and again as one of the countries that is doing the most to block progress on climate change. It's not just that they're not being part of the solution. They're aggressively being part of the problem. They're trying to convince other countries to weaken their targets. They're negotiating to allow oil from the tar sands to be sold in Europe and the United States. They've been doing a huge amount of work to block progress on climate change and to allow Canada's emissions to continue to grow without facing the responsibility for dealing with climate change.
So what are you planning? What are the other things, like events maybe, that you guys are planning?
As we did yesterday, by releasing Canada's negotiated uniforms, we sort of unveiled our strategy and our messages, which is put people before polluters. And everything that we do is going to tie into that message that we need to put the needs of citizens ahead of the needs of oil companies.
Wow. What would your message be to youth in general concerning climate change?
I would encourage anybody who's young or old who cares about climate change to speak out and do advocacy around this, because we need every voice that we can to speak out in favor of strong action on climate change.
Do you feel or do you believe that government is actually listening to the call of youth in terms of climate change?
This is COP17. We've had 16 negotiations previous to this, and we still don't have any agreement that's going to deal with climate change. So I think that it's obvious that it has not been working, largely because countries like Canada have been trying to block this the entire process. So I think it's important that we continue to pressure our government and also acknowledge that maybe it is not working to engage with them in a traditional way, conventionally, when you just sit down at a closed-door meeting and tell them what you think and then hope and have faith in them that they are going to actually listen to you and include your voices, your desires in their climate change policy. And we've had numerous meetings. I've had numerous meetings with politicians and negotiators from Canada, and I've always walked out feeling that I was not listened to. So I think that by launching Canada's new negotiated uniforms and this and our whole campaign about needing to put people before polluters, we're opening the door to more creative actions to get our message across.
Moving to other news that made headlines at COP17 today, the UNFCCC Executive Secretary Christine Figueres announced that COP18 CMP8 will be hosted in Qatar. This year, Seoul, Qatar and South Korea both lead the bid to host COP18 CMP8 next year. Qatar will host the conference and South Korea will host the interministerial meeting.
COP18 will be hosted next year in Qatar. And the key ministerial consultation that precedes the COP, which is a tradition of every year, the pre-COP, will be hosted in Korea. So I must say this is a win-win agreement among both countries, but above all, it is a very important win for the climate process to have these two countries, each of which are leaders on their own right and in different ways, willing to work in a collaborative fashion to host us next year in Qatar and for the pre-COP then in Korea. So I would like to thank both countries very much. Thank you for your willingness to generate synergies. But above all, I would like to thank Korea, because this has been a very, very intense conversation between both countries, and we are indebted to Korea's flexibility in allowing Qatar to host the COP. So, Ambassador, I am very, very appreciative, and through you, please, to the rest of the government of Korea.
At the announcement of the host of COP18 CMP8, the Director of International Organization and Conference of the State of Qatar, Yusuf bin Khalifa Abdul Al-Sadar, thanked Korea for the compromise reached and said Qatar would take every opportunity to ensure that COP18 is a success.
In the beginning, allow me to express our deep appreciation and gratitude to the friendly government of the Republic of Korea for their kind cooperation. I also want to emphasize and the strong bilateral relation of the State of Qatar and the Republic of Korea, which has successfully led to this conclusion. Appreciation also extended to the Executive Secretary of the UNFCCC, Christina Figueres, and her wonderful team for their efforts. Likewise, we extend our gratitude and thanks to Her Excellency Patricia Espinoza, Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Mexico, and Her Excellency Ms. Mahsa Habani, Minister of International Relations and Cooperation of the South Africa. The government and the people of the state of Qatar are eager to welcome you in Doha. We assure you that Qatar will spare no effort to guarantee the success of COP18 in Doha. And we always will be cooperating with all the Asian group in this matter. Thank you, Mr. President.
Ambassador of Climate Change in Korea, Sun Sung-hoon, said at the final stages of consultation, the spirit of compromise won.
Thank you, first of all, Madam Executive Secretary Christiana Figueres, for the warm words. As she said, we had a very intensive consultations for the past 2 years. We have indeed a very long journey, and finally we arrived in Durban with good news. At the final stage of consultation, I think the spirit of compromise and mutual accommodation prevailed. I do not have much to add what Madam Executive Secretary has said, because she has succinctly explained the meaning of the final resolution between Korea and Qatar on the host of COP18. As she said, Korea will closely cooperate with Qatar in the preparation to host COP18 in 2010. We try to help and assist Qatar to make COP18 a great success. Korea also hopes to hold an important interministerial meeting during the course of the climate change negotiation next year. Not only in the context of climate change negotiation, but also both countries will jointly promote and implement the green growth strategy on a global scale. Finally, I'd like to extend my sincere gratitude to Minister Espinosa and Madame Figueres, Executive Secretary of UNFCCC, for their inspiration and guidance throughout this year. I'm also very thankful for Minister Machabane for her support for the bilateral resolution on this very important issue. I also thank my thanks to Professor Asama for his support for the final resolution successfully. Thank you.
COP17 CMP7 President and Minister of International Relations in South Africa, Maita Ngwana Shabane, thanked both Qatar and Korea for working together in deciding who should host in the end.
To my dear friend, Excellency, very difficult dear friend, Excellency, Patricia Espinosa, the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Mexico, dear friend, the Executive Secretary of the UNFCCC, Executive Secretary Figueres, to the Chair of the Asia Group, Dr. Professor Al-Saban, we as South Africa and the COP17 presidency would want to take this opportunity to thank the government of South Korea, in particular through Ambassador Sung-ho, for having worked together under the guidance and cooperation of the chair of the Asian group to work with Qatar and finally resolve as to who should host the next COP. To the incoming COP presidency of Qatar, through Mr. Yusuf Khalifa Al-Sadat, Director of International Conference Organization of the State of Qatar, congratulations. I'm sure by now, for Minister Espinosa, for myself, and for the Executive Secretary, we all know how impossible it always seems in negotiations of the UNFCCC, but it is at that moment when it seems impossible that you always get solutions. I think this is a very good encouragement for all our negotiators around town in Durban, that whatever that seems impossible now in the negotiations can be done. For almost 2 years, South Korea and Qatar, under the guidance of the good prof here, have been trying to figure out as to who should finally host. And it took them the inspiration to come to Durban, the Durban of Chief Albert Luthuli and Gandhi, to finally say, no, we know how we can fix this. You host all the important meetings, I'll host the COP. But in that spirit of partnership, we would want to once again congratulate you and thank the COP16 presidency for having been very, very patient, and also the support you got from the executive secretary.
My name is Lucinda Pearl, reporting for Bush Radio News for the COP17 in Durban.